Let us pray. Holy God, we thank you for the words that we have heard, words that are familiar to us, and at the same time, still, after many hearings, words that are strange to us. Give us understanding. Help us to see in them the truth that you have for each of us, and to know that that truth is your will for our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I've shared this story with you a number of times, or some of you a number of times, and I beg your indulgence for one more. Back in September of 2011, our family adopted the little Bichon Poodle mix named Jacques. Jacques had spent the first 5 years of his life being abused in a puppy mill. And he was very skittish, especially of men. On January 3rd, the next January of 2012, I took him out. We had had some words because he bit me when I was trying to get him ready to take him out. But I took him out for his nightly duty. And we came back, and I'm reaching down to pick him up, and he started bucking. And he bucked out of his collar and took off. We hunted him for days. This is January, mind you. It wasn't the coldest, but it was still cold. My daughter made up on the computer flyers with his picture that we put up on phone poles all around our area. We got a couple calls, but to no avail. She sent the flyers to vets, to animal shelters. And after 3 months, with nothing, we gave up. And then in May, the fourth month, one day I went home for lunch, was listening to the answer machine of our phone, and there was a gentleman on there saying, "I think we may have adopted your dog." I called him, and after talking a little bit and describing some of Jacques' characteristics, he said, "This is definitely your dog." So we drove all the way down to South Brunswick that afternoon to get him. He had been picked up and adopted out of the Edison shelter. And we brought him home. And he's still with us. He's gotten off his collar a couple of times. Then he just kind of sits there. "I know what happened the last time. I'm not doing that again." But you know, we had given up hope. And he was restored to us. Hope is a precious thing. And yet, so often we give up on it. Not just the hope of finding something, but the hope of restoring a relationship or of something working out. Today, in our readings from John and Ezekiel, we hear people who have lost hope. I want to begin with Ezekiel. The people had been taken into exile into Babylon. Now, they were in exile, they were kind of imprisoned, but they weren't, because they were free to work, to marry, to live their lives. But they couldn't really practice their religion, because their religion centered on the temple, which was destroyed back in Jerusalem. And so, in this process, many of these people created new lives for themselves. They just went on. And later, after our reading today, people are allowed to return to Jerusalem, but many of them don't go back. They've given up. They've become accustomed to the life where they were and were comfortable. They had become numb to God and God's work in their lives. The Reverend Dr. Craig Barnes, now the president of Princeton Seminary, once wrote in a Christian Century magazine about our Ezekiel passage, "The old dream of living in the Lord's presence had died. buried under piles and piles of coping mechanisms. You see, when we lose hope, we fill what we are hoping for, that loss, with something else. We cope with it. Or, dare I say, we don't want anymore what we were hoping for. We were let down once, and we're not going to be let down again. We're not sure we want the bones to live again. Both Mary and Martha had given up hope that Lazarus would live again in this earth, in this life. Lord, if you'd been here, my brother would not have died. That's the words that comes from both of them. Almost like they'd been practicing what they were going to say when they saw him. And it was the fourth day when Jesus finally shows up. The Reverend Peter Wood, a South African pastor, says, Jesus knows that Lazarus is dead. He tells his disciples this brutal truth. Only then does he decide to go to nearby Bethany. Bethany wasn't that far away. And he arrives on the fourth day. The day that is beyond all hope. All through the scripture, the third day is the day that God acts. Jesus arrives on the hopeless day, the fourth day. The day where we say, God didn't act, and we give up. Just as we had lost hope in finding Jacques again in the beginning or at the end of the third month, we've all been there. We've all fervently wished for something to happen, and it doesn't. And finally, we reach the fourth day, and we give up. Praying and praying, willing and willing. And then somewhere, just after the third day, we give up, we've resigned, we've resented, it's finished, it's too late. What have you given up on? Where in your life do you feel dried up? Where do you feel like hoping is too much effort and so you don't do hope anymore? Do you believe the bones of those dreams and relationships can live again? Or do you even want them to live again? Dr. Barnes quotes one of the prophets of religion today, and I truly mean that in every sense of the word, Walter Brueggemann. He writes, he has written that that hope proclaims that the way things appear is precarious. So we dare not absolutize the present. We dare not absolutize the present. Don't take it too seriously. Don't bank on today because it will not last. Thus, hope is revolutionary. That is why the poor are great at hoping and why we in the middle and upper classes who are coping well in Babylon have such a hard time with hope. We think we are doing well enough. Our only worry is that we will lose ground tomorrow. But if we turn against tomorrow, we turn our back on hope. It's then that the human spirit begins to wither away. When we turn our back on hope, the human spirit begins to wither away. It's very easy to give up on hope. We cope the best we know how, but we reach a point where we give up on it. And we say, these bones can't live again. Well, to use a story from John, we don't want to be unbound. Because then we'll have to live again. We tried that. It didn't work. We don't want to go through the pain again. I'm reminded of the times that I've heard people say after they've lost someone or something that they loved very dearly, I'm never going to love again because it's too painful when you lose it. But I say, it's a worthwhile pain because it means that that someone or that something was very valuable to you. And you would go through that pain If we didn't go through that pain, then it means that whatever we had wasn't valuable to us, wasn't important to us. My prayer today is that in those areas where we feel like dried up bones, that we might look at them and begin to hope again. May God help us to believe that the third day is possible. Even on the fourth day, even on the fourth month, even on the fourth year, even on the fourth decade, we can continue to hope. Amen.